The following audio is from Fathom Church in Littleton, Colorado. More information about Fathom can be found at fathomchurch.org.
Hey, good morning. It is great to be up here this morning with all of you. If you have your Bibles, please open them up to Exodus chapter 12. If you do not have a Bible, we have Bibles back on these two landings. And here's the deal with those. I don't think we say this enough, but if you ever need a Bible, take one of those Bibles home with you. If you ever have somebody that you want to give a Bible to, take one of those Bibles. They are for you. Please do. Every now and then we have somebody who wants to take a couple of them for some people in their lives. Please do. But open up whatever Bible you've got to Exodus chapter 12. That's where we're going to be this morning. But as you're turning there, you know, I think there's something in us that we really want to fit in wherever we're at. Like we have this desire in our lives, this deep desire to be on the inside of things, right? To fit in, to be a part of something. I want you to think back to maybe when you were a little bit younger, maybe it was like teenage years, or maybe you're doing some of this now, that's totally fine, where you just were trying to be with the cool kids or be liked. You wanted to feel like you belonged to something. I wanna tell you about a few things in my life where I tried to fit in as a kid. And I'm going to show a couple pictures up here. This is the first one where I tried to fit in. This is me and my siblings. I'm that one, obviously. I know, so cute. But I tried to fit in because I wanted to be like my older siblings. So I played soccer on really the same league and same everything as both of my siblings. The next one, I bleached the tips of my hair. Don't laugh. That was in back then. That was awesome. Bleached the tips of my hair. Now, if you've seen my son running around here, he's got his whole head bleached. So he's just trying to be like his dad, I think. I don't have pictures for these ones, but I wore a wallet chain. Anybody wear like a wallet, a chain to go to? Yeah, see, I see some hands raised with the JNCO jeans even. Big old, trying to keep my wallet from getting stolen. You got to wear a big old chain. Because my brother did it, I wanted to try and fit in. I remember racing home one day in middle school to listen to and try to memorize a Blink-182 album because all my friends in middle school knew that album. So I needed to know that album. I needed to know the words, which was not wise of me to do. In high school, I joined a band. So I was in a band in high school. That was pretty cool. I got some tattoos. I got my ears pierced in nice and big. I'm in the middle there with some buddies. I got a lip ring. I did all those things to try and fit in. I wore skinny jeans one time. I promise one time, never again. Never again I will do that. To try and fit in, I hung out with some pretty sketchy people. If you don't recognize, that's me. If you don't recognize that guy, that's our fearless leader, Pastor Chris Martin, who is not here, by the way, today, so I can show this picture. Yes. This was pre-gray hair Chris Martin. Which was like pre-planting a church, pretty much, Chris Martin. Long time ago, me and him in California when I was his first intern. So that's that. But all of this stuff, all of these things, in the name of trying to fit in the name of trying to be cool or be in the in crowd, and really not just fitting in, but trying to belong to something. And we have this deep desire not to just be in the room, but really be like in the inner circle. Yes, you can change it. You will never see those pictures ever again. We will move on from those. And hear me, that longing to really be truly in is really at the heart of our text this morning in Exodus. We're going to wrap up chapter 12 this morning, talking about the institution of the Passover. In most of your Bibles, you might see that little subheading in there, institution of the Passover. Now, if you've been with us for the last couple weeks, okay, you might be thinking, Well, wait a second. We already talked about the Passover. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the Passover. And last week, Pastor Chris talked about the Exodus, right? The actual Exodus. I thought we'd be done with this, okay? Thought we'd be done with this section. And I thought that too. It seems like a good ending spot, especially for chapter 12, would be the actual Exodus, since we're going through the book of Exodus. But now as this chapter closes, the Lord wants to circle back to the Passover one more time. And why is that? It's not just this book of Exodus, and especially this moment is not just Israel escapes from slavery, Israel escapes from Egypt, and then roll credits. Right? That's not the end. God wants Israel to understand that this departure is going to define their identity forever. And that this meal, this Passover meal that they're sharing, that we're talking about, will mark his people under his covenant across all of time. But for us this morning, the natural questions now, as we talked about this a couple weeks ago, and we're talking about it today, is who's allowed to eat of this sacred meal? How is it to be guarded and regulated? Who is this for? Who belongs and who doesn't? All those questions. So really our big question that our text is going to answer today is, how does someone truly belong to the people of God? How does somebody truly belong to the people of God? And so I'm titling this sermon today, Belonging. Belonging. So let's get into our text. We're going to read this first section here, starting in verse 43 through 47. So follow along with me. Chapter 12, verse 43. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "This is the statute of the Passover. No foreigner shall eat of it, but every slave that is bought for money may eat of it after you have circumcised him. No foreigner or hired worker may eat of it. It shall be eaten in one house. You shall not take any of the flesh outside of the house, and you shall not break any of its bones. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it." So this first section we have here starts with setting a very clear, really clear, but honestly kind of an uncomfortable tone here, that there are boundaries, that there are boundaries. And so the first point I want to make today is about the Passover is God sets boundaries. God sets boundaries. God is not vague here. Okay, he doesn't just say, "Hey, everyone can join in." He has some guidelines for the Israelites. Now, I want to dive a little bit deeper into some of these groups. There's kind of three groups that are excluded from this Passover. Okay, and I want to talk about them just really briefly. It says the foreigner. Okay, so we have the word the foreigner, and this Hebrew word here defines foreigner in this context as an outsider with no covenant commitment to Yahweh. So no covenant commitment to Yahweh. Think like temporary visitor or tourist or someone just kind of passing through their land. That's the first group. The second group that is excluded from this, it says the hired worker. Okay, this is a paid laborer who works for the household, but is not part of the family. Okay, and then there's this third kind of group that's more of like a catch-all group, and we'll actually see this kind of alluded more down in verse 48, so we'll see this again, but it's the uncircumcised male. Okay, and this is a man who may even live among Israel, but has not taken on the sign, the covenant sign of circumcision. And so the Passover was the meal of salvation for Israel, and this is what God is saying in this moment. Okay, he's saying, "Hey, you don't just wander in off the street and take the Passover meal. Like this isn't just a casual snack." This is a covenant meal for my covenant people. It was the remembrance of that night that we talked about a few weeks ago, that God passed over the homes covered by the blood of the Lamb and brought people out of slavery. Like, this means that it's not just a cultural festival thing or a holiday that you could just drop into because it looks fun, something to be a part of. Like, it's a holy sign of belonging. And because of that, because of what it is, God sets boundaries. Okay, he sets boundaries for the people, okay? Who's in and who's out? But that's not all in that first section, okay? There's a couple other boundaries that it says. In verse 46, it says, "It shall be eaten in one house. You shall not take any of the flesh outside of the house, and you shall not break any of its bones." Now, that's might be a little odd to us to hear, but it's deeply symbolic. Okay, that first part, "It shall be eaten in one house." This speaks of unity. Okay, this is unity. God's people are together under one roof, under one sacrifice. And then we have that piece, "You shall not break any of its bones." This also has to do with unity, right? And not division, not separating these things. But it's also a forward-looking picture to Jesus, right? The true Passover lamb whose bones were not broken on the cross, right? Just as you look in John chapter 19, it says that. So even here, God is already preaching the gospel through the lamb. And so we have boundaries and we have symbolism, and all of that is saying that God defines who belongs. He draws the lines around his people. This thing is exclusive. Now, here's the deal. That kind of rubs against everything our culture preaches, right? That kind of rubs against everything that we hear nowadays. I think hearing that God is exclusive makes people feel pretty uncomfortable, right? Because we live in a world that says exclusivity or boundaries are hateful, are oppressive. Like, anyone can do anything, right? Anyone can live any way they want. Anyone calling themselves a Christian can just kind of live however they want and however they wish, and just assume that God is thrilled with it all. And actually, what God is saying even here is no, that he's not, that God is exclusive about who can share in this covenant meal. And hear me, not because he is cruel, but because this meal is a sign of a real relationship, a real covenant, and a real salvation. But in today's world, like, when you're exclusive, you're hateful to all those who are maybe outside those parameters or outside those boundaries. And another example for you here at Fathom Church, we also have boundaries and parameters, okay? I know it's crazy, but just take the Lord's Supper, okay? Like, in our context, since we're talking about the Passover meal here, every week here at Fathom, we end the service, which we will do again today. We end our time, our service, with the Lord's Supper. And for those of you that don't know a ton of the Lord's Supper and kind of the institution of that and everything, there's a lot that goes behind that. And there's a lot of different ways to do all that. If you've been at a different church before, maybe you've done it completely different than what we do here. And one of the things that we do here, it's called fencing the table. It's called fencing the table, okay? Put kind of a fence around the table. That's the lingo that is used for this, a fenced table. And that means we invite anyone who has repented of sin and trusted in Christ to come eat and drink in faith. But we also say, if you've been here for more than a minute, you hear us say every single time, if you are not a follower of Jesus, you shouldn't be taking the Lord's Supper here. Like, we even say, hey, you should probably abstain, because again, it doesn't mean the same for you. It really doesn't mean anything for those not following Jesus. And again, that's not us being mean, okay? That's us taking God's boundaries seriously. And so the truth is that God sets boundaries for his people. Not us. We don't set these boundaries. God sets these boundaries. The line between in and out is not defined by us or our feelings, or hear me, by our culture or by our politics or by whatever's popular right now. It's defined by covenant with the Lord. Now, if we stopped there, like, that'd feel pretty heavy, okay? Like God is just like building this fortress to keep everybody out, but that's not what he does. As exclusive as it is to be a part of God's family, God makes a way in for everyone. Okay, let's keep reading. I'm gonna jump back up to verse 44 first, and then I'm gonna keep reading in verse 48, because 44 goes along with this. So follow along with me in verse 44. But every slave that is bought for money may eat of it after you have circumcised him. Now jump down to verse 48. If a stranger shall sojourn with you and would keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised. Then he may come near and keep it. He shall be as a native of the land, but no uncircumcised person shall eat of it. There shall be one law for the native and for the stranger who sojourns among you. So now we've got my second point I want to make here today, that if God sets his own boundaries to be a part of his family, he still does provide a way in by providing a bridge. God provides a bridge. This is what is so cool about this text here this morning. You have this tension here, right? This tension. On one hand, no foreigner shall eat of it. And then on the other hand, verse 48 says, well, if a stranger shall sojourn with you and would keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, then he may come near and keep it. He shall be as a native of the land. Did you catch that little piece in there? That God is not saying only ethnic Israelites can ever belong and everyone else stay out. He's saying, as exclusive as this meal is, my invitation is open to all who come through my covenant. And as I was kind of thinking about this this text this week, a good illustration, a good imagery to think about this is, imagine like God's people inside just a massive fortified castle. Okay, like Lord of the Rings style or something like that. Massive fortified castle, high walls, even a moat around it, like serious boundaries, okay? Not just anyone can just waltz right up to it and walk in, but there's a drawbridge, okay? There's a drawbridge, and God runs the drawbridge. God works the drawbridge. He himself lowers it, and he says, you want to come in? Well, there's a way, but here's the deal. You come in on my terms, not yours, but my terms. Now, in the Old Testament, okay, that bridge was circumcision, okay? And circumcision wasn't just a random ritual. Luckily, Kevin, our newest elder, preached on this many, many weeks ago, so I don't really have to talk about this because I don't want to. Circumcision, it wasn't just a random ritual, right? It was a physical marker that said, I belong to Yahweh. I'm in his covenant people. Okay, so here in Exodus 12, God says, hey, if this outsider wants to celebrate Passover and identify with my people, then he doesn't stay a stranger. He enters into my covenant. He takes on this sign, and then he is treated, as it says, as a native of the land. Like, this is huge. This is huge. Like, God provides a way for outsiders to be fully in. not just half in, not just like second class citizens, not like nice try, but you're always going to be on the B team. You're always going to be kind of looking in over the walls into what everybody else is doing. Verse 48 says, he shall be as a native of the land. And then verse 49, there shall be one law for the native and for the stranger who sojourns among you. So that's one law, one standard, one people. And so I think kind of like the obvious sort of question as we kind of read this in Exodus, we kind of think, so what does that mean for us on this side of the cross? Like we're on this side of the cross. Well, the New Testament tells us that physical circumcision was always pointing to something deeper. So the bridge today is not physical circumcision, praise God. It's not surgery, it's surrender. It's faith and repentance. It's submitting to the new covenant in Jesus' blood from the cross. And it's saying, hey, I'm not going to stand on the outside and admire this castle from a distance anymore. Like I'm gonna walk across that drawbridge of Christ's sacrifice and put my whole trust in him. And that's why the Lord's Supper is for Christians. That's what it means for us today. It's for Christians. It's not for perfect people. Okay, it's not for people with a certain background or ethnicity, but for those who have come into God's family through faith in Jesus. And hear me, you don't have to be ethnically Jewish to belong to the people of God. You only have to belong to Jesus. So God sets boundaries, but he also provides a bridge. And the boundaries are real, but so is the invitation into his family. And so let's read this last little piece. The last little piece of this passage is what happens to those who then come in. Okay, what it looks like when someone truly belongs. Let's look at these last two verses, verse 50 and 51. All the people of Israel did just as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron. And on that very day, the Lord brought the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their hosts. So God sets his boundaries. He provides a way in. And when you're in, this is my third point, God forms belonging. He forms belonging. Verse 50 is one of those very simple, but yet like beautiful, but often overlooked and skipped verses. All the people of Israel did just as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron. Like that's belonging. That's covenant life. The people who have been covered by the blood of the land respond with obedience. And remember, like this whole Passover event thing is God's doing, okay? Like they didn't save themselves from Egypt. They didn't outsmart Pharaoh by themselves. They didn't strategize their way out of slavery or anything. God delivered them by grace through substitution by the blood of the Lamb. And so belonging starts with what God has done for them. But belonging is shaped by their response. They obey. It says they keep the statutes. They celebrate Passover his way. They live under that one law for the native and for the stranger. There's this shared life of faith and obedience. That's what God does. Like he doesn't just rescue you and then just leave you as a spiritual orphan to wander around on your own. I want to say that again, okay? God doesn't just rescue you and then just leave you wandering on your own. He forms you into a people, into a family, into a body. And that's what we see here at the end of chapter 12. And so that's the end of chapter 12. Now, what does this all mean for us? Okay, what does this mean for us? I want to spend some time looking at some applications for us for this text. And the first application, the one I see here, is don't redraw the line God has already drawn. Don't redraw the line God has already drawn. Listen, if God sets boundaries around who belongs to his people, then our first takeaway from this text is don't redraw those lines, those boundaries that he has already set up. Because Christian, I feel like we constantly are tempted to soften or move or ignore boundaries to make us feel maybe a little bit more comfortable or more culturally acceptable or more in line with our preferences. But belonging to God's people is not a self-defined thing. It's not my truth. We hear that all the time. It's not my version of Christianity. Like, God has spoken. And let's be honest, like this one of my examples here is this shows up so much in relationships nowadays, okay? Relationships, like when a Christian starts dating someone who isn't a follower of Jesus, okay? We have clear scripture, okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, it says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Like, he's pretty clear on his boundaries, but what do? We soften it a little bit. We move the goalposts just a little bit, right? We even like rename it to like some missionary dating or missional dating or whatever you want to call it. Like we say, I know they don't follow Jesus, but I'll get them there. I'm going to convert them. I'm going to get them too. We say like excuses like, well, we have good chemistry, right? God just cares that we love each other, right? That's all he cares about. Or we move in together before marriage and act like this piece of paper thing really doesn't really matter that much. Even though God has a design for committed covenant marriage. That's what we do. We do this all the time with our relationships. What about politics? Might as well talk about it, okay? Politics. We redraw those boundaries as well all the time. We decide who's in and who's out based on who they voted for, right? Or if they align with every social issue that I do, or if their social media looks like mine, then you're in. If you're not sharing or liking or reposting the exact same things that I do, then you're out. And suddenly, The question isn't, do you belong to Christ? It's, do you belong to me? Are you a part of my tribe? Like, are you on my side? Are you on my team or not? And so my first challenge to us from this text is to examine where you've been casual about what God takes seriously. Where have you tried to change or maybe even kind of manipulate his boundaries? God defines who his people are and what life looks like with him. Our call is not to redraw the lines, but submit to them. And so that's my first takeaway from this. My second application for this text today is stop standing near the door and step fully inside. Maybe you're here and maybe you hear all this about boundaries and belonging and you realize like, yeah, I've been kind of hanging around or near the community of God's people without actually entering into this covenant that you're talking about. Like, you're close, but you're not in. You're watching maybe from a distance. You're a fan, but you're not actually family. Like, outsiders weren't permanently excluded in Exodus 12. God has sent you an invitation. He's lowered that drawbridge. Jesus made a way for every outsider, every sinner, every rebel, every skeptic, But here's the thing, you still have to walk across the bridge. Like, you still have to accept the invite. Like, you stand on the edge of the moat all day long, admiring this castle, listening to sermons whenever you get a chance to, singing the songs, enjoying community, but never actually cross the bridge. Like, you could be around Christians, you could even go to church and be familiar with the language and still not belong to Christ. And so let me ask you this, are you actually part of the body of Christ, or are you just kind of nearby? Are you a committed part of the church, or maybe you just don't really like the accountability that it comes with, the commitment that it comes with, the vulnerability that comes with real belonging? God's invitation is open, but it calls for response. And listen, we've said this so many times in so many different ways over what the 11 years that we've been a church, but proximity is not the same as belonging. Like, don't stay outside the drawbridge, come in. And my last application and challenge for us is this: live like family, not like guests. This one's similar to the previous one, but some of you have crossed that drawbridge, okay? You've trusted Christ. You belong to him. Maybe you're even like members of the church. You serve here, all that kind of stuff. But functionally, you're still living like guests in God's house. Like, you show up occasionally, right? But you kind of stay on the edges. You avoid the deeper relationships. You keep your struggles hidden. You treat church like an event you attend instead of a family that you belong to. But you know what happens to those who are on the edges, right? You're susceptible to attacks. And we know there's someone out there on the edges waiting to pounce and devour those who are on the edges. We know that. 1 Peter 5:8 says it, that the devil prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Like, we've all seen Animal Planet, right? We all know this, okay? We know this scene of the lion that's prowling around, hiding in the grass, right? Then it kind of zooms out of the lion, and you see this herd of like antelope or something, right? Big herd. But then it kind of pans, the camera kind of pans to the edge of the herd and then zooms in on one, right? Comes to focus on one weak, gimpy little struggling antelope, right? Barely hanging on to the edges of the herd. And we all know what happens next, okay? We all know what happens. That lion pounces, and there goes Bambi or whatever. But listen, that lion had an easy target. Easy target. That's what they do. The weak, the young, the struggling. But this is why God created animals with a herd instinct, right? Because you look at like herds of like elephants, okay? For example, that herd surrounds and protects and shelters the weak ones and the young ones. Like, they'll put a baby or one that's gimpy elephant right in the middle. Right in the middle, and they'll surround them with the biggest, baddest elephants in that herd. So hear me, church, on this. Be careful. If you're hurt, if you're feeling alone, if you're struggling, if you're feeling vulnerable, get in here. Like, if you are in Christ, you're not a guest, you are family. Like, there's a seat at the table with your name on it. There's a role in the body that only you can play. There are brothers and sisters who need your gifts, your encouragement, your presence, all those things. And if you're hanging on to the outside, just know the enemy is looking to devour those people who are just disengaged a little bit, who are hanging out on the edges. So get in here. It's safer in here. And hear me on this. This quick little thing for all those who are feeling strong. Maybe you're not that way and you're feeling strong and you're feeling good about things right now. Like your relationship with God has never been better. Maybe you're in a stronger season. Then circle up. Like look around you to see who's limping. Who's on the edges, who's drifting. And move towards them, invite them in, pray with them, sit with them, encourage them, protect them. Belonging to God's family is not just the status that you have, it's a way of life shaped by commitment to God and to one another. So that's what God is forming here in Exodus 12. That's what he's doing in our churches today, what it should look like. And so, church, with that, we're 12 chapters in, 20 weeks in Exodus. And I want to wrap this up by reminding us where we started. Okay, 20 weeks ago, all the way back in January, back in chapter 1, if you remember this, okay, maybe look back in your notes, we were given 12 names, the sons of Israel, 70 people total, just a family, really, right? Small, vulnerable, forgettable, really by the world's standards, but now here in chapter 12, at the end of chapter 12, that little family has become a people. 430 years later, they walk out of Egypt as a nation. And it's been hard, and it's been dark at times. There's been slavery, there's been oppression, there's been groaning and waiting that seemed like it'd go on forever and ever, and yet, look what God has done. Look what God has done. Like God made a promise to Abraham. He said he would turn a family into a people, and here in Exodus 12, God has kept his promise. He always does. He kept his promise. He formed a people. He gave them a place to belong. And church, if you're in Christ, that's your story too. That's your story too. It's not the end of the story, but it's where we're going to stop for now. And you'll have to come back next January to see what happens next. But will you pray with me? Father, we thank you, God, for who you are. God, we thank you for, we thank you for the boundaries you have put on things. We thank you for your direction in life, God, for your example in how we are to live our lives, God. God, we thank you for making things so clear to us, even though most of the time we try to go our own ways, or we try to make excuses as to why it's not that clear, and how we can kind of just twist that a little bit to our preferences, God. God, we do that so much, and I pray, God, that we can learn where we have done that, and we can repent to you, God. That we can read your direction for our lives, God, and be committed to that and submit to that. God, instead of trying to do things our own way. God, we thank you for bringing us into your inner circle, God. We thank you for making a way to your inner circle. God, you could have put up all the boundaries ever and said no one is good enough because we're not. But God, you have made a way, and that was through your son's death and resurrection. And God, I just pray that if we are here God, and maybe we're on the outside looking in. Maybe we have crossed that bridge and accepted that invitation, God, to be a part of your family. But God, we don't want to belong yet. We're just kind of hanging out on the outskirts, God. We're enjoying life right now, not getting too committed, not getting too vulnerable, not diving all the way in, God. I pray that if that is us, God, that we will submit to you today. God, that we will dive in. God, that we will want to be a part of your, belonging to your family, God. And God, I want to lift up all of those in this room, in our church, that are on the edges. God, those who are hurting, who are weak, who are struggling, God. God, and I pray that we can bring them in and circle up around them. God, you have created your body of believers for that, God, so that we can glorify you, God, by surrounding all those who are hurting. God, by bringing them in, protecting them. God, I pray that we do that. I pray that Fathom Church becomes a church that doesn't let people sit on the edges, that doesn't let people hurt or go MIA or just kind of slink off into the edges, into the darkness, God, that we will grab them, we will pull them in, and we will circle up and protect them. God, because that's what you've called us to do. We're not just people hanging out together. We're a family. God, we belong here, and we want everyone to belong to you, Jesus, and to your family. And so I pray, God, that for those hurting, for those struggling, God, that they just dive in. And for the rest of us, God, that we find those people and you help us circle them up and protect them, God, and bring them in closer where it's safe. God, there is our enemy is out there prowling around like a lion waiting to devour us, God. But God, if we stay close to each other, if we circle up around each other, God, he will have no shot. And so, God, I pray that for our church. I pray that for our people. God, I thank you for what you have done, what you did for your people, God, and what you continue to do for us in making a way to be a part of your family, Jesus. We thank you for that. And we pray that we can submit to your boundaries. We submit to your law, to your word, God. And we just thank you for that love and that grace that you show us continually. We thank you and we pray these things in your name. Amen.